Dory, do you see anything?
Ah! Something's got me!
That was me. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
Dory, do you see anything?
Ah! Something's got me!
That was me. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
Dory, do you see anything?
Ah! Something's got me!
That was me. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
Dory, do you see anything?
Ah! Something's got me!
That was me. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
Who's that? Who could it be? It's me.
Are you my conscience?
Yeah. I'm your conscience. We haven't spoken for a while. How are you?
Can't complain.
Yeah, good. Now, Dory, I want you to tell me, do you see anything?
I see a light.
A light?
Yeah, over there. Hey, conscience, am I dead?
No, I see it too. What is it?
It's so pretty.
I'm feeling happy, which is a big deal for me.
I see a light. This morning when you walked into this room, we wanted you to see lots of light. We wanted you to see all of the light bulbs and the candles and the trees that are up front. Because sometimes in the bleak midwinter, after a day like what we had yesterday in Rochester, where the sun refused to shine, it is good to come into a warm place where people know your name and where you can turn towards the light and know what that light represents. It represents hope. It represents joy. It represents new life. Today at the Open Door, we're going to be beginning a new sermon series called Turn Towards the Light. And it's one that's been built around the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a season that follows Christmas, and it's sandwiched right in between Christmas and Lent. And it's a time when we think about all the ways in which Jesus brings light into our lives and helps to reveal the true nature of God and who God is and what God dreams for our lives. So today we're talking about how we can turn towards the light in times of trouble. And in that video clip that you got to see the first few seconds a few times, where Ellen DeGeneres goes, Dory and Marlin are traveling down this deep, cavernous valley of the ocean, and they're chasing a pair of goggles that have an address written on them. Do any parents know what the address is? P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney, Australia. That's right. Yes, there are a few things that are like ingrained in my mom brain, right? It's like my social security number, the phone number for the pediatrician, and P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. For some reason, it's all stuck in there and jumbled together. And anyway, they're traveling down this cavernous valley, and they're looking for these goggles, and they see a light, and they know that the light is going to help them find the address that's going to lead them to find Nemo, the little fish that's been lost in the great big ocean. So that's just a fun clip we wanted to use to introduce the series. A good scripture verse that we wanted to use to introduce the series comes from the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, and it's a book of prayers. And it's a book of prayers for people who need to remember to turn towards God on good days and bad days, when things are going right and when things are going terribly wrong, when you have lots of things that you want to say to God and when you're not sure what words to use. So these words come from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains should shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. I think there are certain times in life when we remember to turn towards the light, when we remember to go to God, when we ask for help from our brothers and sisters in Christ or from our pastors or from our church community. And certainly for me, one of those times when I remember to turn towards the light is when I'm in trouble, when I'm stuck in the mud and it's dark and lonely and scary, and I'm not sure what to do. I always try to remember to turn towards the light, to ask God for help. Perhaps this is similar for you too. Later on in the series, we'll talk about how we turn towards the light during times of transition or when we're in the midst of tension and turmoil. We all go through these times in life when we have trouble or transition or tension, and these are times when we can turn towards the light and lean upon our relationship with God, when we can offer ourselves and surrender ourselves into the life of the church community. I know that I'm not the only one who experiences God's presence in times of trouble or who turns towards God's light in times of trouble. There are others of us who have done so when we have had personal issues or family issues or trouble at work. There have been seasons of life or journeys that we have walked through together as a body of Christ, as a community of faith, when we've said, "This is really hard, but I know I am not alone in the midst of this troubling time." I think about the times when the GM shut down or when there was an issue in the school systems, or perhaps when someone who was really important to our church family died. Everybody came together during that time of trouble and looked towards the light and found that God's presence was a beacon of hope, was a beacon of light, and a promise that was steadfast and true in our lives. These things that cause us trouble in our life, these are the things that keep us up in the wee hours of the morning, the things that we're thinking about at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's the brokenness that makes us feel angry or confused or hurt or sad. It's the darkness that seems all-consuming, even if it's just for a couple of hours or days or months. As personal as trouble in our life can be, we also know that it is social as well. We don't have to look too far to find trouble in our world and in our society. Right now, there's talk about war in Iran, and that feels troubling. There are natural disasters happening in Puerto Rico and in Australia, where continents are literally on fire and the ecosystem and livelihood of Aboriginal people are in trouble. There's global health crises where in just 2019, 1,600 children died from measles around the world. It's troubling to know that some of these things are preventable, that some of these things should have interventions, that we should be bigger and better and smarter and faster, and yet the trouble remains. And so what do we do? How do we respond? Well, as people of faith, we believe that we can turn towards the light. We can turn towards God as our help, as our rock, as our refuge, as the one who is able to teach us and show us the way, and ultimately save us. I was listening this week for signs of trouble and for the ways in which people here in our church at St. Paul's United Methodist are turning towards the light. And I heard a couple of stories that I want to share with you. One of our United Methodist women has a neighbor who is going through a health crisis. She's been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and is in a lot of pain, and ended up having to quit her job as a laborer and look for other employment. And what that meant was that in the midst of that, things started to fall apart in her world. She wasn't able to pay her mortgage and she lost her house. Her marriage, which was already broken and suffering, things got worse and her husband filed for a divorce. And then all of a sudden, the dog gets sick and needs thousands of dollars worth of veterinary care. And so one of our church members, her neighbor, greets her while they're out walking these dogs. Things normal people do every day. And they find each other at the mailboxes, checking their mail. And the neighbor breaks down to our church member, and she says, "I just don't know what to do anymore. Nothing is going right. I'm in so much trouble. Will you pray for me? I know you're a person of faith. I know that you know people who pray. Will you pray for me, and will you tell everybody that you know who prays to pray for me?" And so we did. So we are. Her name was brought to the pastors. Her name was brought to the staff. Her name was brought before other groups of people here in this congregation. And all of a sudden, one more person has turned towards the light and is asking for help in a very troublesome time. A few months ago at our October rummage sale, which is a big deal, and lots of people are in and out of the building every day, all weekend, and you meet lots of new faces and encounter perfect strangers who are just trying to shop for the next deal. Sometimes you find people who are looking for help, looking for the light. And in October, I encountered a woman who, like me, was shopping for maternity clothes. And she said, "Do you know anything about this church?" I said, "Yes, I do. I'm one of the pastors here. How can I help you? What are you itching for? What are you seeking after?" And she said, "Well, I think I need help. I think my doctor has referred me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was just wondering if you have an AA group that meets here." And I said, "Yes, absolutely we do. We meet twice a day, every day of the week. And I can show you the room where they meet and give you the times and information and all that stuff." And she says, "Oh, that's good. That's good. I really need that group. And more than that, I think I need real professional help." She said, "Do you know any counselors? Do you know anybody that can talk to me? Because there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not sure how to sort through it all. But I know I can't keep drinking as a way to solve my problems." I said, "Yes, yes, I do." And so we went to my office together. I gave her the information about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I gave her a few names of local counselors, local therapists who are professionally trained to help folks turn towards the light. We prayed together, and I haven't seen her since, but I know that she is in good hands and being well cared for. Similarly, this week I noticed a student in our youth group who had walked from Stony Creek High School down the hill, up the hill, through the neighborhood to St. Paul's United Methodist Church, and she had stopped by to see Jody, our wonderful youth pastor, our youth director, and we didn't think of anything of it. Students are always stopping by to see Jody because who doesn't want to spend time with Jody? She's wonderful. But it turned out that this student had had a terrible, no good, very bad day. It was a rotten start to the new semester, and she didn't want to go home. She didn't want to hang out at school. She didn't want to do anything that she was supposed to do for homework or otherwise. And so, not knowing where else to turn, she walked herself to church and hoped that someone would be here to receive her with open arms, to listen to her, to hold her as she cried, and to say, "Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow we can try again. Tomorrow will be better." People come to church at all times and in all places, all over the world, seeking the light and the hope and the new life that Jesus offers. And it's in this season of Epiphany that we turn towards that light, that we remember who Jesus is and what he stands for and what's possible in his name. We remember that even though God and Jesus does not cause the trouble in our lives, God and Jesus walks with us through all those troubles and helps orient us towards the hope and the new life and the possibilities that remain. So when we are in times of trouble, we can turn towards the light of God. This is the light that we seek as we come to understand who Jesus is and what his presence means for us. There's other places in the Bible, in the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John, where it talks about Jesus being the light of the world. Jesus being the one who illumines the darkness, who lights up our path. There's stories where it talks about Jesus being the one who brings good in the midst of evil situations, whose goodness can conquer all of the terrible things that are happening in our lives and in the world, things like hatred and injustice and violence. And his light, what Jesus brings into those situations, is love, justice, and peace. His light becomes this beacon of hope, a sign of the ways in which, of the ways in which God's goodness triumphs over evil. The person who wrote the psalm that I read for us today from Psalm 46 recognized this. Their world was as troublesome as ours. There was violence, there was poverty, there was despair, there were broken relationships. Nations were fighting against nations. And all the while, they wrote the words that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though it feels like the earth is changing and the mountains are shaking and the waters are roaring and foaming and the mountains are trembling, it feels like that's not only happening in the geography and the landscape of the world, but it's happening in our life too. Our mountains are trembling. Our waters are roaring and foaming. Things are not right inside of us. We can turn towards God as our rock and our refuge. God is that steady, steadfast presence in our life. God's presence is never changing. That light is never going away. As sure as the sun rises and sets, there will be a new day and the light will shine again. And that's the promise that the psalmist is clinging to. As people of faith, we know that sometimes it's easy for us to be the ones who are looking for the light, who are seeking Jesus' presence in the world. We know that we need it, and so we go after it. But there may be people in your life who you know are living in the midst of darkness, who are living in the midst of despair. You may know people whose mountains are trembling and whose waters are roaring and foaming, and they need help. And so one of our responsibilities as people of faith, one of our great privileges, is to be those people who help others turn towards the light. We can be the compass that helps orient people towards God during times of trouble. The light of Christ is not just something that's been given to us solely as a gift for us, but it's been given to all people. And so part of our job, part of our calling as Christ followers, is to help others see light in times of trouble. We can bear witness to that light, and we can shine Christ's light in a way that others can see it too. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to have easy answers or quick fixes. This doesn't mean that we have to give away all of our money and all of our time and all of our stuff in order to solve other people's problems or perhaps enable them further. What that means is that just like the United Methodist woman who was walking her dog, we can stop checking our mail for a moment and pause and offer a listening ear. We can be present with other people in times of trouble and remind them, like Jody did with her student, that tomorrow we get to try again, that tomorrow is a new day. We can keep ourselves in community. We can always, always offer resources like prayer and professional referrals. And we can always offer that invitation to say, you know what? I've got a place at St. Paul's United Methodist Church where I come when I need to turn towards the light in times of trouble. Would you come with me? Would you sit with me? Would you come and be with me and see if you can see the light too while you are there? I remember a story that I had when I was traveling with my husband Joel. We were in Ireland and the sun was setting, but we were trying to find this old cathedral that we wanted to visit. And we knew basically where it was. We had a map and we had a rental car and we were driving and driving and driving. And the roads were twisting and turning as they do along the Irish coast. And suddenly the road names weren't matching up with what was on our maps. And we were all turned around and we didn't know where we were going or which way we should be going or which direction the cathedral was that we were trying to get to. But the sun was setting, and we said, you know what? Let's set aside this desire to do the tourist thing, and let's go watch the sunset off the coast, off the west coast of Ireland. And so at that point in time, we put aside the map, and we just turned our eyes towards the horizon. We turned our eyes towards the light, and whichever way the light was shining, that was the way that we directed the car. And so if we were going straight and it turned out we needed to go left, well, we would turn left and follow the colorful sky, follow the sun. And just as it turns out we did that, we end up on this country road that was a little two-track. We were the only people out on it. A herd of sheep crossed in front of us, literally. And as we look to our right, there's the cathedral, sitting off on the side of the cliff overlooking the ocean and the sunset. We get out of our car and we walk into the cathedral and we sit in the first pew. We had an opportunity to light a candle to pray for people we knew who were in need. And we sat and we watched the sunset through this glorious, fairly clean window behind the altar. It was at that point in time that we realized that, you know, we were lost. The sun was setting and we had no idea where we were going. We could have gotten into some trouble, but we followed the light. And the light led us to the place that we most longed to be. And that was in the presence and in the household of God. Today, we're going to have an opportunity to come together as a community of faith and to acknowledge that the place where we most long to be is in the light, in the presence, and in the household of God. We're going to have an opportunity to turn towards the light as we all come forward to take a moment and look at the candles and also take a candle. I have votive candles that have never been lit or used in anyone's home. And I want to invite you to take one of those candles home with you today. Take it with you and put it in a place. Maybe it's on your desk or on your dining room table or in a place where you like to pray. And I want to invite you to go ahead and light it at least once a day, every day this week. And as you do so, turn towards the light. Maybe you'll pull out your Bible and read a psalm. Maybe you'll find that place in the Gospel of John where it talks about Jesus being the light of the world. Maybe you'll just sit quietly and take some deep breaths and give thanks for the ways in which God's light is shining in your life. Maybe you'll pray for someone else who's in the midst of darkness. But as we turn towards God's light, we do so together as a community of faith. We do so knowing that we are not alone during times of trouble, and that God, our God, Emmanuel, is with us. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, you are good, and your presence in our life is steadfast. You are always here for us. You are always active and at work in the world. And so we know that when there are times of trouble in our own lives and there are times of trouble in our society and in the world, we can turn towards you and your light. And you will find a way to break in to the darkness. You will find a way to usher in hope and love and justice and peace. You will offer those gifts into the midst of our life and speak new and reassuring and comforting words. And you will also offer those gifts to every man and woman and child who is in need. We give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the light. And we offer you ourselves as people who can bear witness to your presence in the world. Amen.